Welcome to Daily Living for Christ, 86,400 seconds in a day. Imagine the possibilities of what your life would become if you dedicated an additional 60 seconds each day to walk closer with Christ. Well, that's what we're here for. We are here to partner with you on your journey to drawing closer to Christ. 86,400 seconds. Are you ready? 86,400 seconds. Are you ready to become what Christ has already declared you are? Let's jump in now. All right, so welcome back. I want to jump into this because we're in Acts chapter 8, but we're picking up on verse 4. Now, Acts 8 introduces, well, actually, it doesn't introduce, but now you're going to see Philip come into action. So if you remember in Acts chapter 6, conflict caused the situation, and God had a plan. And out of the conflict, seven men from within the church were called to step up and to resolve an issue in the church. And two of those men were Stephen and Philip. And we saw that God had a plan for Stephen. And when Stephen did his plan, he basically did a history lesson for the, for the religious leaders in Jerusalem. And as a result of that, he was stoned. And then I brought up the point that Jesus taught us, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But he says, if that grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it can produce much more. So, and as a result of Stephen's history lesson, the church is persecuted, and it causes the church to scatter. So now we are going to start to see another level that's happening in the gospel. Persecution is coming upon the church. They have not experienced it yet to the extent that it caused the church to scatter, not the leaders. The leaders stayed in Jerusalem, but the people in the church scattered. And I believe when you, if you remember this, remember in the beginning of Acts, the Pharisees said, and they were having the meeting, and he made the statement. I think his name is Garza. He made the statement. He said, if this movement is of God, there is nothing you are going to be able to do. And if it is not of God, it is going to dissolve. So when we pick up here in Acts 8, we're going to see now Philip. But I wanted to bring this in here. What does it feel like to be a pioneer? To be the first to do something? You see, because when you're the first, you don't have a roadmap. When you're the first, you don't know what to expect. And in everything that we are doing in our lives through Christ, we're pioneering because we don't know what tomorrow brings. We think we know, but we don't know. Only God knows what that is. And I want you to start to think about how in all that you do, in some aspects of it, you're pioneering something. You're experiencing things for the first time. When I say you are experiencing it, you may know of someone else who experienced it, but you can't live off of what they experience. You have a knowledge of it, but when you are physically going through something, it is different than having a knowledge of it. So I want to remind anyone listening to this that as a pioneer, there are going to be times where you feel alone. There are going to be times where you feel you are not going to feel like keep going. And at that moment, that's when you tap in to the very presence of God that is within you. See, this is one of the things that we have as believers in the New Testament church, in the church age. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. So we are never alone. From that perspective, yes, we could be physically alone, but we always have access to the source and the sustainer of our life. So I wanted to put that out there. So now let me jump in here. And I'm going to probably break this down into two parts because there's a lot going on in here and I want you to be able to grab this. So Acts 4, so it says, now those who had been forced to scatter went around proclaiming the good news of the word, right? The good news of the word. One of the resources that I was looking up, it basically said it like this. It said that Philip went about preaching the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. So when you think about that, he was literally preaching the kingdom of God. Now, what does it mean to preach the kingdom of God? Well, he is preaching from this perspective. He is actually telling the Samaritans, he's telling the people that what God was trying to show you in the Old Testament, all that he spoke about in the Old Testament was revealed and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So now when you think about the kingdom of God, and I know we hear this all the time, but I want to give you another spin on this. Dr. Tony Evans calls it God's kingdom agenda. So when you think about an agenda, it means that God has a plan. He has a purpose to what he is doing and how he's going about doing those things. So we understand that the kingdom of God is where God abides, right? So he abides everywhere. So it's his kingdom. His kingdom is the greater kingdom than the kingdoms of this world. He supersedes all natural and spiritual kingdoms that existed or will exist. So think about it this now when you think. So it says, Philip went down to the main city in Samaria and began to preach the Christ to them. Now, when you think about the Christ, I'm going to just break this down. He's talking about the Messiah, right? The one who has been anointed by God. So that's when you think God's plan or the kingdom of God, this is the plan that God sent his anointed one. That's what the whole Old Testament was talking about, that he was going to send forth the Messiah that would redeem Israel and the world. And now Philip is preaching this. But before I go any further, I must remind you that Philip and Stephen, not long ago, were just participating in church. I want you to grab this now. You see, when you're on the sideline, when you're on the sideline or you're just in church, but you know that there's something staring inside of you, don't lose hope. Hang on. Hold on to that thing or that seed which has been planted into you by God's Holy Spirit. Because the key here is they didn't know when they were going to be thrusted forward. And it was through persecution where everything should be up in the air now. It's all crazy. People are scared. They're running for their lives. And it is through this time that the church expands. Go figure that. I want you to think about that. But wait, is this the first time that this has happened in Israel's history? No. Remember, when the Israelites went into Egypt and they were enslaved, they multiplied greatly under the enslavement or the persecution that they received from the Egyptians. So let me keep going here. Now, I want to bring up Samaria to you because this is important. Because this is the same Samaria that Jesus made a decoy to go through Samaria to meet the woman at the well. This is the same Samaria where the disciples basically says they had nothing to do with Samaritans. Now it's being evangelized. I want you to grab this. So the very thing that was a stumbling block when Jesus was there and when he died, he destroys the stumbling block. And now he's dispersing. He's dispersing people to go to the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth to receive this. So he says, Philip went down to the main city of Samaria and began preaching the Christ to the crowds. Now, here's another key. It says, verse 6, it says, the crowds were paying attention with one mind to what Philip said. This is important to grab this. They were paying attention to what Philip was saying with one mind as they heard and saw the miraculous signs he performed. I want you to grab this now. So the miraculous signs got their attention so that they could focus on what he was doing. Now, the key here is Philip is not doing the miraculous signs. God is performing the miracles through Philip. I want you to grab this. So any human is only the vessel. So the miracles are designed to get people's attention. That's what miracles are designed for, is to get our attention. It's to show that there is a power, or God's power can override natural circumstances. And we're going to see this as part of what's going on here. Now, as part of this ministry, the miraculous signs that show up is talking from the perspective of God-ordained signs. So it says, here it follows the context, the miraculous nature of the signs mentioned. This term is mentioned 13 times in the book of Acts. So miraculous signs shows up 13 times in Acts. So what is God saying to us? Remember when we started this, Acts is the beginning of the church, or it is like I just said, the pioneering of the church. Now, here's another point here. Philip was not one of the disciples. I want you to grab this now. Philip was a Hellenistic Jew. He was outside and he got chosen to go in. So God is using ordinary people to show forth his power and might to bring more people into the kingdom of God, or to fulfill God's kingdom agenda. Verse 7 says it this way. It says, for unclean spirits crying with loud shouts were coming out of many who were possessed, and many paralyzed and lame people were healed. Now, I want here's the point. We can take the Bible as the authoritative word of God that reveals God's intentions and God's truth. So we're seeing here in the book of Acts, performing through a man that was not part of the disciples, but yet he is now elevated in the church and working in the church. He's in God's plan now. He's working, and we see that through him, miraculous signs occurred and unclean spirits actually came out. So I want you to grab a hold of, if you don't understand what an unclean spirit is, let me give you a better understanding. It's the expression unclean spirit refers to evil supernatural spirits, which were ceremonially unclean and which caused a person's possessed by them to be ceremonially unclean. So this is something that we don't actually talk about this much in modern day church. But when a person showed up and they were under the influence of an evil spirit, and here's what's important to grab here. They were able to recognize that it was an evil spirit. I want you to grab that. Well, if they recognized that it was evil, then they had to know what was good. They had to know what was the opposite of what it was to actually call it evil. But either way, when a person was under the influence of a demonic spirit or an evil spirit, they were considered unclean. So for Philip to be able to heal them and make them clean again, he was fulfilling, or he was acting in the role of what the priest in the temple should have been able to do, the same way that Jesus did it. Now we see that not only do the 12 do it, but people that are attached inside of the church have this same power. And what is that power? That power is the presence of God working in and through his beloved sons and daughters. Only believers, let's get this out right now. Only believers are candidates for God to use with his supernatural powers to bring forth healing and restoration in the lives of people. There's a character coming up in here that I want you to be able to see, because now we're going to see the man of God, or let me just not say the man of God, the person chosen by God to restore people back to their rightful place. And then we're going to see the world's version of that and what's going to happen. At the end of the day, people, here's the deal. There's no middle ground with God. And I know we don't think about this, because I don't actually think about it all the time, but literally there is no middle ground with God. You are either in competition with God or you're with him. You're competing against him or you're with him. And I know I don't think about it. I don't consciously think about that my decision that I made to do X, Y, Z or not to do this is actually in competition with God. But I want to wake us up to this. And I want us to realize when we're in competition with God, or when we studied in the book of Romans, Paul said that we were enemies of God. So when you're working against God, what are you? You're his enemy. But here's where love shows up. God is saying, in spite of what you're doing, I still love you. You're still my son. You're still my daughter. So I'm not going to give up on you. And I'm going to continue working in and through you through the power of the Holy Spirit, that this transformation on the inside that will be revealed on the outside of you comes to full completion. I want you to grab that. That what God starts in us, he's all in to the end. Even when we say no, the Holy Spirit is patiently waiting, right? Because guess what? He's not leaving us. So even when we're not doing what we know to do, he's still there. And every once in a while, you'll hear that little check, or you'll feel that check like, man, this don't feel right. Or why am I doing this? That's the Holy Spirit just reminding you, hey, this is not you anymore. I just want to let you know, when you're ready, I'm here. And when Philip shows up to Samaria, think about what was going on. But let me not say this. I want to read verse 8, because verse 8 explains it. Verse 8 says, so there was great joy in the city. I want you to think about this level of joy that was in Samaria when not the apostles showed up, but now a man of God shows up and is preaching, and they're responding. And as a result of their responding, they are being restored. I want you to grab this, man. This is incredible joy. And this joy is greater than you actually having a physical need and that need shows up. It's greater than that. Because now these people are now, those that were of the evil spirits or sick or paralyzed or those things, they were looked down on. They had labels placed on them. And because of the persecution inside of the church, God separated out the church, and he caused people to go to the ends of the earth. And Philip shows up in Samaria. And by the power of God, the labels are now removed. labels are now being destroyed. I want you to think about labels, or how many labels do we hold on to, or how many labels that we have placed on us, and God's saying, no, 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 no. The only label that we should allow to be in our lives as a born again, Christ purchased believer is I am a son and a daughter of God. All those labels that were placed on us before we came to Christ, you have in you the very presence of the Holy Spirit, and he's here to tell you that the labels can be removed. But you got to go through the process. And if I get an opportunity, I want to share with you what that process looks like, because, oh yeah, yeah, I'm going there. Jacob, in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob had a label. And Jacob's label was deceiver, trickster. He had deceived and he had lied and he had cheated his whole life. And he gets to this place where he deceived his brother Esau, and now Esau's coming after him and he wants to kill him. So Jacob devises this plan. He says, all right, man, because I'm wealthy now, so here's what I'm going to do. I am going to give all of my wealth to Jacob, and I'm going to become his servant. So God, I'm going to give it all away, and I'll become his servant, but protect me from him. Didn't happen. He devised this plan. Didn't work. But then it says, at night, while Jacob was alone. Now, I want to tell you this right now. This process happens when you're alone. And you're only going to be with God. He says that this process, when Jacob was alone at night, he wrestled with a man. I'm not going to go into all this. Maybe I will. I don't know. I'm just talking right now. He said he wrestled with a man. And that man was what is called a Christophany, Christ taking on human form in the Old Testament. And he wrestled with Jacob all night long. And then this man touches Jacob's hip, and his hip is thrown out, and he has a limp now. So, man, think about it. You got a label, and now you got a physical ailment to go with the label. But here's what Jacob said as he's wrestling with this man. He says, listen, I am not letting go until you bless me. No matter what, I got nothing left. I got nothing here. I need you to bless me so that I can continue on. So he's holding on. He's wrestling all night. And as the daybreak ends to break, I want you to get this now. The daybreak, the new day is coming forward. Man, this is good preaching here. I'm sorry, y'all. As the new day is coming forth, the man he was wrestling with asked Jacob a question. He said, what is your name? I want you to grab this now. Do you not think that the man knew his name? But what's even more important, he's wrestling with somebody that doesn't even know his name. That doesn't even make sense, right? So the asking of the question is the acknowledgement of what you have become. You have accepted the label. Jacob accepted the label that was placed on him from birth. He said, my name is Jacob. I am the deceiver, the trickster, the liar. And what does the man say? The Bible says that God said, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but I will call you Israel, for you are the father of many. I want you to grab this, man. I want you to grab a hold of this. So if you are in this place of wrestling with God tonight, I want you to be encouraged to hold on. Stay in that press. That's what Paul said. He said, I press towards the mark and the high calling of God. See, there is a place, there is a press that we can be in, knowing that at the end of the day, change is gonna come. Oh, I can hear Otis Redding's song right now. Change is gonna come. But I'm here to tell you that change has already come. Why? Because the scriptures and the word of God, the authoritative word of God, the word that was breathed out of God, the counsel of God, has declared that Christ will no longer die. So the works that he did to free us has already been done. If it's delayed, maybe it's because we're not in our right position. Maybe it's because we have other things that God needs to get out of us in order to bring that thing in. So keep wrestling. If you're tired, just hold on. Put both arms around them and just hold down. Get them on the ground and lay with them and say, God, I'm not letting you go. No, I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you go. You just need to hold on until daybreak. Now, verse 8. And I hope that, I don't know who that was for, but I hope you got what you needed. But it says, now in the city, there is a man named Simon. Now we're going to see the opposite of God moving on a man. There was a man named Simon who had been practicing magic and amazing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. I want you to grab this now. He was practicing magic. So he was actually what people would call, he was a shaman or a witch doctor. So he was the very epitome of evil. And guess where he was living at? In Samaria. I want you to think about this. So now do we get an understanding of why when Philip showed up and they get to hear this and see this? They get to see the very presence of God removing burdens and destroying yokes without having to pay for it. Now you understand why they were listening with one accord to the words that were coming out of Philip. But now, check it out, verse 10. It says, all the people from the least to the greatest paid close attention to him, saying, this man is the power of God that is called great. So they had not seen the very presence of God. So they were willing and they accepted the imitation for what was real. I want you to grab this. Please grab a hold of this. If you, to whoever you are, man, if you're holding on to something and you're dabbing into something and you know that it is not the real thing, maybe your daybreak is today. Maybe this episode is here to tell you to let it go. But look what happens here. And they, the people, right? The people paid close attention to him. Here's the key. because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. We have people even today, and some of us even know this, we've been amazed by what others were able to do. I want you to grab this now. They've been amazed. We've been amazed. We've been transfixed on what they were able to do. But we knew it wasn't real. We knew it wasn't authentic. We knew it wasn't God. But God is saying, "It's time's up. It's over. Today it's over." Philip is present to say, "Today it is over." Verse 12, he says, "But when they believed Philip as he was proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ." So this message here is for anyone that is ever going to talk to someone about God. Here is your message. You only need to talk about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, how God sent forth his son. This is the kingdom of God's message. How God sent forth his son, Jesus, in the form of human to die on a cross for you and me to fulfill the punishment of all that was wrong in the world, that we might be able to come back to God through his sacrifice. Through God's act of love, we are able to come back to him with no merit on our own. And it is only happens through Jesus Christ. And by his name, every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess that he is Lord. I want you to grab this now. So it says, the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to grab hold. It says, they began to be baptized, both men and women. I want to talk to you a moment here about baptism. Because sometimes we tend to forget what baptism was reckoning in the biblical days or in the beginning of the church, which is supposed to be the exact same thing today. The baptism recognized that when you went into the water, you were dirty or you were unclean. Your life was unclean. You were submersed into the water, which means the same as being dead. You were submersed into the ground and you died in the ground. And when you came up, you were a new person. This is what Paul is referencing. He says, do you not realize that you were baptized into Christ? So they are still doing water baptism here because this was the only physical thing that they could show forth that they were no longer the same. They were no longer that person who was unclean, who was outside of God's will or his agenda, then to go into the water and come out a new person. And it's important to recognize this in the book of Acts, that men and women were baptized. I want you to grab this now. So women have an equal part in the freedom that is coming forth by the very presence of God. Now look what happens in verse 13. And I want to say this, and I'm a preface this before I say this. When the true authoritative word of God shows up in the presence of a man or a woman of God or the word of God, evil has to acknowledge it. It has to recognize it.
Why? Because the word of God was breathed. It was breathed, like breathed out of God. I want you to grab this. I want you to understand that the Bible is the breathed. It is the word that was breathed out of God. It's not the inspired word of God. Stop it. It's not inspired. God breathed this word out into the men and women that he had write it down. This was God speaking to humanity what he wanted humanity to know until the end of time. This is why the Bible is not just a book. The Bible is the book of all books. This is why the writer in Hebrews said that the word, the breath of God, is living and active. I want you to grab this now. This makes us understand. When we think about it, all the words of the Bible, even if it's on a computer or it's on paper or it's sitting in scrolls, I don't care what it is or if it's in Braille or if it's in audio, when you are listening to the word of God, you are listening to the words that were breathed out or breathed out by God. And that word has the capacity to go in to your inner man or your inner woman and change you and shape you and mold you into the image of Christ. All we got to do is say yes. I said all that to get to verse 13. I know. He said, even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he stayed close to Philip constantly. And when he saw the signs and the great miracles that were occurring, he was amazed. Now, come on, y'all. You got to give God some love on this one, man. A witch doctor sees the presence of God shows up and he believes and gets saved. Now, hold up. I want to make sure you understand what just happened. The whole city came to him. They paid him to do the works that he did. Simon is now unemployed, y'all. Just, I want you to think about this. He had a job. He no longer has a job now. But yet God's power and presence was greater than what he was doing. What is Simon telling us tonight? See, you already know that what's inside of you is greater than what you were doing. And the very presence of God is pulling you towards him. But instead of pulling back, throw your hands up. Let him pull you all the way in. Because as you come all the way in, now you get to see the fullness of God. And I'm going to let it rest right there. So whoever you are, whoever is needing this word tonight, I pray God's peace and I pray his protection and his perseverance over you and the strength to make that decision. All you got to do is say yes and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Step out into this adventure of faith and let's enjoy this ride together. Thank you. Until next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of Daily Living for Christ, where we have one purpose, and that's to partner with you on your daily walk with Christ. Before you go, I have two questions I want to throw out to you. First,
What insights did you gain from this episode? And number two, how will you apply those new insights in your daily walk with Christ? Remember, awareness leads to choice, and choice leads to a decision. There's 86,400 moments in a day. 86,400 moments in a day. Let today be the day that you increase by one more moment with Christ. Until next time, I'm out.